It's good to be here this morning. It's good to worship, isn't it? It's good to come before our Lord and just express at least a portion of our gratitude to Him as we sing back to Him praise, as we give back to Him, as we come to His Word this morning. He continues to speak to us, and we thank the Lord for that. Also, a time at the table, which really ties in with what we were talking about last week, this need that we have to know how to love more, to see the love of Jesus Christ. We look at Mark chapter 8. And as Jesus, that the essential question of who Jesus is means everything to every one of our relationships. And I think as we look at the text, the messages over the next few Sundays, to ask the question, what is God's will for my family? What is God's will for our church? What is God's will for any relationship that you have? It really comes back to these questions are being answered in the text to us this morning. And in these weeks to come, as we look at it, we're looking at 1 John chapter 1 this morning. And John talks a lot about relationship here. He uses very few words in these five chapters, in this little letter. But he brings across some very powerful points that the Lord would want us to hear from him in how we relate to one another, especially as we relate to God and to other people. And he begins that discussion here in these 10 verses in 1 John chapter 1 this morning. 1 John 1 chapter 1 says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray again together. Father, I thank You for these ones who have come before You this morning. And thank You for this time of worship we've already been having. You're so almighty. There's incredible victory in what You've done for us, Jesus. And we know that You are enough for us. Lord, confirm that in our hearts again this morning. We need it. Again and again, Lord, we need it. And I thank You, You're such a gracious God that You bring that to us. Father, unfortunately, in every one of our lives, we encounter brokenness in our relationships. We encounter impasses that we have, Lord. I pray for the school situation that Cole brought to our attention this morning and how that's been hurtful in their situation. And we just pray for everybody that's involved there, Lord, that Your grace once again would be made known to every person involved in all this. But Lord, we pray again for each one of us. Every one of us, Lord, we have a need to know Your love for us afresh and anew this morning. And Lord, the love that You have for others, that You would put in our hearts, that we may be able to exercise that towards others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were on a camping trip. After they had eaten real well, they decided to lay down and sleep for the night. So they laid down, and in the middle of the night, Holmes elbows Watson and says, Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. And Watson replied, I see millions and millions of stars. I should be doing this in an English accent, I know, but this is the best you're going to get today. What does that tell you? Watson pondered for a minute. Astrologically, I observed that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that time is approximately a quarter past three. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you? Holmes was silent for a minute. And as he looked around, then spoke, it tells me that someone has stolen our tent. And as you think about the night sky, and we think about this text, and I was thinking about a picture that God would give to us There's nothing like a nice fire, isn't there, to gather around. I mean, we as Americans, we've really taken this up. When I was a kid, I only knew about cutting firewood so that we'd stay warm in the wintertime, you know, and that's how we used it. We didn't camp any, so I didn't know about campfires. But in the last 10 years, I've grown to really appreciate a nice fire to gather friends and family around. In fact, my sister has a camp, a fire pit, and we've got a little fire pit. And my brother's got a fire pit. And when we get together, normally we got a fire and we get around that. And we make s'mores and we cook hot dogs and everybody has a really nice time. But there's something about that as you sit out underneath the night sky, especially in the fall where it's not quite as crisp as what we experienced this past week, right? But a nice, cool night to sit, and we gather around that, and it draws us to that central point of that fire, and to look around at the faces around the fire and to tell stories, to laugh, to appreciate each other. And I believe that there's a lesson in that as we look at what the scripture is telling us this morning, that John is saying we have been attracted to the Son of God in Jesus Christ. That as God is trying to attract us in, that we all circle around, we have this sharing in Jesus, that is God's will for us as the church. It's not just God's will for different people or different ones to have that experience, but he truly wants us to live in that kind of relationship. The wonderful thing about this as we get into the text this morning, we have something that the world not only needs, but is wanting today. The world wants to be heard. The world wants to hear. The world wants to be in relationship. I recently was reading about a church that was ministering in Seattle, Washington. And something that they started doing was just making supper for people who wouldn't normally come to church. And they come out and they sit down, these people who know nothing of Jesus Christ, really, besides they've heard his name here or there, maybe seen it in a documentary. But to sit down around a table and talk to people that know about Jesus, and they want to be heard. They want to have this relationship. They're open to it. We have what the world needs and what the world is starting to awaken to the fact that they want. And 1 John really gets into it here as he talks about it. Look at those first couple verses that he talks about it. He talks about the fact that we have a God. And what does he say that? That we have looked at and touched with our hands. That we have a God who has come. In John chapter 1 in the gospel, it says this. These are familiar to us, not throwing back too far to Christmas. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We call it the incarnation. The fact that God became flesh. Though all these other religions around the world, they sort of try to understand what the supernatural might be. But we have a God who has come in the flesh and wanted to relate to you and to me. He was willing to span that gap by coming in the flesh. That's a big deal. How else do we relate? We have all these ways that we connect with each other. Dennis was talking about Facebook this morning, and that's good. We might be on Facebook right now, I would imagine. Whenever I heard about that last week, I was like, boy, I should have gotten a haircut before I got up there this morning, knowing that I was going to be online. It's like instant celebrity status or something there. But I'd never been online before, you know, and it was different. But as when I went home and told my wife this, and she looks it up and she's watching, I'm like, boy, I really should have done something. But as we think about all these ways that we can connect with each other. And it's nice. It's nice. We reconnect. Facebook, I remember when I first got on there and I found out all these people that I graduated from high school with. Everybody wants to friend everybody. And you find out they're still going out there and some of them have families and what's going on in their lives. And that's unique. But there is nothing like personal contact. Even with all this, I think there is so much chaos and anger and just this spirit of just wanting to be heard. Wanting to be heard, and yet we have a God who says, listen, I care so much about that he came in the flesh. This is a big deal, what John is trying to tell them. Listen, this is what we have seen. He had testified. He had been a part of that testimony there. Verse 2 says, the life was manifest, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. They have seen him. They have had relationship with God himself. Jesus comes. There was something somebody said recently that I thought about. I said, well, that makes total sense. Jesus Christ came out of the tomb in the flesh, didn't he? Came out of there bodily. We believe that. He returns bodily to us whenever we talk about the return. He sits on the throne as the God-man now. That is something about our God. He doesn't just say, try to attain to get my attention. You know, so many of these other religions, we look at Islam and different ones where people are trying to get his attention, trying to gain his approval. And yet we have a God who doesn't try. We don't have to try to get his attention. We have his full attention, that he has come in the flesh. And that says something to us about when it comes to love and comes to relationships that we're going to get into here, that doing it in a flash, having relationship with one another, having personal interaction is so important. You think about how many people that you cross paths with every day that maybe we don't even say hello to, just because it's become common practice for us just to walk past them. We go into big stores and we walk past people and we're just basically trying to survive sometimes. You know, the traffic gets so bad in the grocery aisles and you're just wanting to get to, you know, your spaghetti sauce, and somebody's standing there. So when are they going to move? Why are they going the wrong direction? And those are the things we get preoccupied with. Why are they going the wrong direction? Have they not ever driven a car before? All these things, they come along to us that we get so tangled up in. And yet we pass human beings so oftentimes. This God of ours took on human flesh to come and truly interact with you and with me. Miracle of all miracles. And these other human beings that we pass every day, they want to be heard. And you and I, we suffer from the same thing at times. Say, is anybody really listening? Is anybody really hearing? We really have that. And yet we have something right at our fingertips. Something at our fingertips here, the presence of God, as Gene was saying that this morning, as the worship team was leading us this morning, to say, here's the Almighty, and we stand in his presence. That's amazing. We sometimes we pass that off. We move on. We do things like communion and we pass by it. And it's just the same way we might pass another human being in the grocery store. We just go by it. We say, okay, yeah, that's something that we do. But we never get down to how incredibly and how amazing this all is. We have a God who wants to relate to us that way. Look at verse 3 there. It says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have, and he says this word, fellowship. Now, three times in this passage, he uses this word fellowship. It's a Greek word, koinonia, which you can look that up. You don't have to get too involved with that word. But there is a power in this particular word that the New Testament picks up on in many places. In fact, whenever the birth of the church took place in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, there in Acts chapter 2, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, it's the same word, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There was this sharing. We find out this word has a lot of weight to it, and the fact that it's more than just fellowship. Sometimes we think of fellowship and we think of a dinner, and dinner's a good thing. That's a great thing. You know, I'm looking forward to the dinner we're going to have together on the 24th. That's a great thing for us to look forward to. That's good, but it's not just dinner that we share in fellowship. There is this depth of sharing. In fact, this word gets even more. There's more weight to it. Romans chapter 15, verse 26. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. The contribution part is this same word. This giving, this sharing. Joe and I were having a conversation in the back there earlier, and we was talking about sharing and giving. And I was thinking, yeah, that ties right into what we're going to be looking at in the text this morning. To give. There's this giving part. There's this receiving part of this. There is something that's much more than just merely having a good conversation, even though a good conversation is good. And I think that because of current technology, sometimes we need to go back and we need to let God reteach us how to have a good conversation, how to truly listen, how to truly interact. My wife constantly challenges me with this. Are you really listening to me? Mm-hmm. 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 But why aren't you saying something back? I am. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you stop saying mm-hmm, they'd be like, why aren't you saying anything? And then you say mm-hmm. And, you know, it might not be a time to agree at that moment. 1 Corinthians 1:9 uses the same word. It says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that, again, that's getting at, Paul's talking about it there, John's talking about it here, that fellowship doesn't just include you and I having a conversation, you and I and sharing. It includes the God of this universe. It includes his Son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, as we think about the will for our church, the will for our families, the will for wherever God places us in the relationships we are, Jesus has to be, again, back at what we said last week, he has to be at the center of those things. He has to be at the center of these relationships, or else we're not having true, solid relationship. And that's not something just to give lip service to, but it's something that God had as a part of his plan from the beginning in Genesis. That relationship between Adam and Eve, it was absolutely essential to have God walking with them in those days. And when they decided to cut God out, that's when we started running into the greatest of problems. The reason why we have such brokenness is because we tell God to take third, fourth, second, seventh seat down the line rather than truly inviting him in. So Paul brings this up. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it talks about something where we see here, using that same word, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? This which we do, there is sharing in that. Sometimes when we have these theological debates about how essential or what portion of Christ is in the meal or not in the meal, we miss the point, the fact that Jesus Christ is real. He is here with us and he wants to share with us these elements so we don't forget. So we don't forget. There's a sharing in it. It's the same word that John is bringing up here when he talks about fellowship, that when he says sharing there with them. So many other places in the scriptures bring this up. Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The fellowship of his sufferings, the sharing in what Jesus Christ has done for us and what he's doing. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. There is worship in this sharing. It's a powerful thought that God is worshiped in our relationship. Not only is he involved in it, but that we're actually giving back, not just to someone else, which the giving is so necessary, the sharing is so necessary, but also the power of worshiping God through what we do just in normal everyday relationships. Sometimes we take it way too lightly, don't we? We have those interactions. Yesterday I was a hall monitor. That is a wonderful thing to do, especially at an elementary basketball game. But as we were there, and the parents are much worse than the kids. At those situations, you think, these are Christian people. Come on now. You tell them, stay out of the door. You can't stand in the door. You know, you get growled at. But as we think about those moments, my wife and I were talking about it. We were saying good morning to everybody that came through the door. And there's some people don't know how to react to that greeting anymore. It might seem a little strange. They don't know. You say good morning back. You say, oh, hello, or something like that. Sometimes they look at us. And I said, do you think it's because we've been connected to keyboards so long for some younger people that we think we're saying it back, but we're not actually saying it? She goes, yeah, because you see people, they nod their heads, which sometimes that's just how people react. But to even for that type of sharing, even in that kind of giving, the need that we have to interact with however God gives us opportunity, we can't take it lightly because there's so much weight in it. And it's such a wonderful thing to share in. It's wonderful. When the Holy Spirit uses this conduit of relationships, it is such a wonderful thing that God gives to his church. It is such a wonderful thing. And that's what he talks about here. Look at verse 4. He says, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Back in Philippians chapter 2, he uses this same word for fellowship again, and he talks about joy being made complete. Listen to what he says in Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, again, that same word, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Our joy can be made so complete in these relationships. I've heard a lot of Christians say, listen, you can't rely on people. You got to rely on God. It's true. It's true. At the same time, God has an incredible blessing for his people when we interact the way God created us to do so in the first place, and what he has redeemed us to do through the blood of his Son. There's incredible power in that. And as I said before, the world is waiting for it, and there is joy in it. And that's what John is getting across. He says that you would become a part of this fellowship and be a part of this fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that our joy may be made complete. Now he starts talking about light and darkness. You see, again, going back to Genesis and really realizing that the brokenness came into this world to begin with as the enemy comes in and he sows this seed in Eve's mind, the fact that you can become like God. Did God really say this? Did God really say this? That's what he asked that question. You know, they begin, as one person said, they have the first conversation about God rather than with God, as she has that conversation with Satan there. And John brings up this whole issue of light and darkness. And we come so close to darkness so many times. This past week I was reading an article about somebody who was a very famous dietitian. I hadn't heard about her before, but it made the news that she had committed suicide. And I was reading this article, and the things that she said, you know, on paper, my life looks really good, but I've been contemplating this for 10 years. And I thought to myself, what darkness invades our lives at times? What darkness invades life? How easy it is for us to be pulled into those thoughts, and even as Christians. And that morning I went to work, I told my wife, I said, you know, I just read the article innocently reading. It was, you know, presented on a news site and I was reading it. But I went there and thinking about the text I've been studying, it just brought this sorrow into my heart. Thinking how many people are suffering from this. We read about how many veterans take that step so many times and people say, well, there's help. But who's listening? Who's listening? You know, the hurt that can be even in our hearts, even in the church. We ask the question, who's listening? We need to be people that are listening. We need to be people that are walking in the light. And it's an intent practice to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. It's not something that Jesus leaves us alone in. In fact, he turns the light on. And he is the light. Now we find that out in the Gospels as we read them, that God calls us to this place and he calls us to walk. Notice what he's saying there in these verses. This message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Again in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have, again, that word fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are invited, and whenever the Bible talks about walking, it's talking about relationship. It's talking about relationship. No matter how good or bad we walk, when you walk with someone, you have to pace yourself, don't you? You have to do that. If a person walks faster than you, then when you meet my wife, you'll find out she's only about 5 foot tall. Now, when she has to pace herself to be with me, sometimes I got to pace myself to be with her. But I get in a hurry, and I start stretching, going further and further, and she'll say, John, I'm still back here, and she's usually way back there. Whenever I turn around, I say, what are you waiting on? But we have to pace ourselves when we walk with someone, and yet God's invitation is to walk with him, to follow him. Last week, we saw that in Mark chapter 8. Jesus' invitation is to follow him, to walk with him. Back in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, as God is having an intense conversation with his people, He comes down to this issue right here. Micah 6:8. It's a popular verse. You probably have heard it, read it, memorized it. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The invitation is relationship from the very beginning of Scripture all the way up through those prophets and into then what we understand more properly, this relationship with Jesus Christ. God would have us to walk with him. But there is this need for cleansing. There's this need. You see, in the world, that's the other part of it, though. They want to have relationship, but they don't really realize their need. It's hard for us to talk about something like sin today. You say the word sin, you say, well, sin doesn't exist. Many people will make that statement. Sin just doesn't exist. Wrong doesn't happen. Some people have said we need to tailor our language a little bit more and talk about brokenness. And really, sin is brokenness. There's brokenness there. But we have a need to be cleaned up from it. You see, it's kind of like the country song that has been pretty popular over the last little while. It says, I believe all people are good. That really is the mantra of the world today. The truth of the matter is that we are broken without Jesus Christ. We are sinful without Jesus. And the scripture tells us over and over again. But the great news is that God is not willing to leave us there. He doesn't want us to stay there. We got to be careful, though. We don't fall into the same kind of traps, but there's incredible truth. And to really have good relationship, there needs to be truth in it. If we constantly are telling untruths, people can't trust us, can they, in this? But also in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to have absolutely the truth because he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus tells us about himself in John chapter 14. Look what it says there in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If it just stopped right there, if John stopped his letter right there, it'd be kind of a doom for us. Because we get stuck right there. It's one of those sorrowful moments where we're like, what do you do from here? Yeah, I have sin in my life. Then what do we do? But we need to also recognize that. You know, Romans tells us the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We hear those over and over again. Do we truly come to grips with it, though? Are we willing to? This is really where verse 9 is the great news. It's not just good news, but it's great news for us. If we confess our sins, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the darkness tries to come back in and say, no, listen, think about what you did. It might have been a few days ago. It might have been a lifetime ago. It might have been 20 years ago. And you see, Satan tries to come in and try to pump that in there. But yet, the truth of the word is this, and this is where we still need the truth absolutely in this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to do what? Not just forgive us, but to cleanse us, to make us completely right. That's this God that came in the flesh. That's this God that invites you and I into fellowship with him. That's this God that just like this, that fire at the center of the circle, there he is. There he is drawing us to himself and wanting us to be drawn together in this, to have fellowship with one another with the fact that Jesus Christ is at the center and he makes us right. We can't make ourselves right. There's no way that any one of us can make ourselves right. We can't make ourselves to the place of being able to have a good relationship, no matter how many books we might read, no matter how many conferences we might go to. Not to say that those things are bad, but only Jesus Christ can truly cleanse us and make us right. And the good news is he wants to. He wants us to have that relationship with him so badly. We have to be careful as we look at it. Again, the next part of that stern warning is if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That same song that I was quoting from talks about wanting to go to heaven, regardless. And I think most people, if you talk to them, there's very few. There are people out there, as you talk to them, they say they want to go to hell. I don't think they know what they're saying. And they may be very deluded by Satan himself. Most people say, I want to go to heaven. Most people, if you go to a funeral home, what they're going to say is that person's in heaven. And they may not have ever made any kind of confession to Jesus Christ in their life. That's the direction But without Jesus Christ, that's not a possibility. That eternal life, going back to the first part of where we were reading this morning, in this passage, it talks about this eternal life. We lay hands on it because eternal life is totally through the Son, through Jesus Christ. We need Him. We need Him. We need His forgiveness. We need His cleansing. We need this fellowship. We need this fellowship. Isn't that the great part about it is that we don't just come to God and get cleaned up and He sends us on our way? It's not like getting a bath when you're a kid. You go out and just get dirty again. God wants to be in this constant relationship with us. This constant fellowship. And He doesn't want us to drop that whenever we leave these walls today. He wants us to continue to be in that relationship with Him, but also to have this relationship with others that is totally set up through this incredible work that He's done on the cross and giving us eternal life. See that if we look at our relationships in our families, and there's brokenness there. There's mistakes that we make. There are words that we say that are constantly ground and rewound in somebody else's head. And that's a great thing about having kids is they come back and tell you those things later on. You know, they say, I said that. But God is good, and He even redeems those things. He even helps us to be honest. He even helps us to live by the truth in those things and find forgiveness as well in it. Find forgiveness through Him. Find forgiveness in each other. To share in this relationship. You see how connected they are. And John continues to make this connection, and we'll be looking at more particulars in that as we walk through some other passages in this little book. But I think that this morning, as we come to the table this morning, again, this sharing, that Jesus wants to share this with you. He wants to share this eternal life with you. He wants to share these elements with you. It's Christ Himself that comes to us this morning in His Word, in this worship, and He wants to share it with you. Spend these moments with Him this morning. If there's brokenness in a relationship that you have this morning, if there's brokenness and there's been brokenness in your church even, to give this to the Lord this morning. Because He's willing to forgive. He's willing not just to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To make our relationship right with Him. Even make our relationships right with others. That's His desire. That's His will. That's what He wants. To remove this brokenness and to bring us into that place with Himself. Let's prepare our hearts to take communion this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You. You are a God who does not leave us to our own devices, but You sent Your only Son, Jesus, in the flesh. Father, we scramble on our own and we look about our world and we see those who are scrambling to get Your attention. But Lord, we have Your attention. Father, I know that this morning there may be hearts here that are dealing with that, to know that You're listening. Lord, I pray that You would just affirm that to them here and now, that You are listening, that You care, that You're reaching into their situation. Father, into this existence of this church, a group of people here, Lord, wanting to serve You, wanting to see You revitalize, wanting to see You turn things around. Lord, in this fellowship, that You would strengthen that You would expand it, Lord, into the lives of others as we share Jesus in the fact that we have You as a part of our relationships, as we worship You, even in keeping our relationships as You would have them to be. Lord, give us open ears. Give us open hearts to those that are so wounded by life. But Lord, we pray this morning, as we share these elements, You would deal with our wounds too. Ones that are physical. Ones, Lord, that go much deeper than the physical wound. We pray, Lord, that You would give rest to our hearts. Give peace to our souls. Lord, as we deal with whatever brokenness there might be. But Lord, may we just enjoy Your communion, Your fellowship with us there as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare our hearts, I'm going to invite those who will serve this morning. Jesus gives to us these words and these elements. You know, he could have just told us, just remember. But he gave to us the bread and the cup, which I think does something so much more for every one of us, that we take something into our hands, we eat it, we reenact a part of history in doing it, but much more, this is Christ himself that comes to us in these symbols, in these objects, that he says, remember what I've done for you on the cross. We do this in remembrance of him. So as we do that, I'm going to ask Rick to ask the blessing upon the bread, and we'll pass the bread, and then we'll take that together after we've all been served.
Lord, we just
to thank again, getting that visual reminder of what this represents to us. Blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's take the cup together. Pray together. Father, I thank you so much. You gave us a way to not just end out a service, but to respond to this scripture this morning, to truly share with you something, Lord, that you have given to us, to remind us of that incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your people this day. Lord, that you would lift a burden if there is a burden there for them. Father, that we would be reaching out as well and joining in this fellowship that you've given to us, this sharing, this giving that you ask us to do. Lord, enable us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless your people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, until Jesus comes again. Go with us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.